The following Bass Talk Live iTunes podcast is brought to you by Lowrance. BTL, coming at you. Bass Cat Boats, Strike King Lures, AFCO, and Duckett Fishing. Good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome once again to BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that we want to talk about. Wrapping up the week on a Wednesday with a really, really good show. Folks, I am enormously excited about being in the desert once again next week. I believe this is year number 7 or 8 for us to be involved with the One Bass U.S. Open and doing all the live coverage and the live weigh-in support for One Bass. And this year, a jam-packed field, 250 anglers, 250 pros. And today we're going to talk to the man that makes things happen, Mr. Billy Egan, the director for One Bass and the U.S. Open and everything else that he has going on One Bass related out there. And just kind of give us a preview on what we can expect next week. I know a lot of big names in the event next week in the desert, and it's always a grind. It seems like not as much of a grind since he's moved it to October as compared to when it was in July, but it's still hot. It's still demanding. I truly believe it is the most demanding tournament event in the history of bass fishing. So we're going to get to Billy here in a few minutes. I do want to thank once again everybody that participated in the Sunline Hotline show yesterday. An enormous amount of feedback. And folks, I am really trying to get back to everybody that sends in emails and texts and any other way that you communicate when you go to the website and you send a message to us. I received an enormous amount of feedback yesterday. All kinds of requests for us to do at least a weekly Sunline Hotline show. That might be something we look at for 2020 and add a 4th show to the week. And as I mentioned before, we're actually kind of taking a look at doing more shows next year and maybe even some weeks do 5 shows a week. So good things happening for BTL, but a big thanks to all the people that called in yesterday and all the people on the instant feedback that were very, very active with their thoughts and opinions on so many things that are going down in the world of professional fishing. Now, folks, I have a treat. After we get done talking to the man that makes things happen, I spoke to the Grasshopper last night, and he's actually going to come on for a few minutes, just a little bit past the top of the hour. And our first opportunity to talk to him live on BTL about what has happened over the past 2 weeks and kind of how things are setting up for him at Lake of the Ozarks this week with a massive opportunity for him to qualify for the FLW Tour. He's already in the Coastal Championship, but I know he is extremely fired up about this opportunity to be able to make the FLW Tour. So that's kind of the plan next week. BTL all week long, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week, live from the desert at the Station Casino. And then obviously the weigh-in will take place in the evenings. Remember, a 2-hour time difference. So you folks in the Midwest and on the East Coast, you're going to get a little bit of a later time for us to go live. I think right now the tentative plan is to go live at 9 a.m. Pacific time. So that's going to be high noon Eastern time, 11 o'clock Central time. So a little bit later than usual for your folks in the Midwest and in the East. So let's do this. Let's take a break. Oh, by the way, did you notice yesterday? Commercial free, and I think I could have kept taking phone calls for another 2 hours, but we're going to take a commercial break here, come back with Billy Egan, and then also very excited to talk to Matt after we speak to Billy. Everybody, hang tight. We'll be right back. This is BTL on a Wednesday.
You are serious about catching fish. That HDS is a dead giveaway. You've got the best fish-finding sonar money can buy. Time to build the ultimate fish-finding system with LiveSight Sonar. See what your lure is doing in real time. Watch fish strike as it happens. See for yourself. Take the LiveSight Sonar 30-Day Challenge. If LiveSight Sonar doesn't help you find and catch more fish, send it back, no questions asked.
Gamagot's the G-Finesse Series. In my opinion, the G-Finesse Series is the only lineup of hooks you need for any fishing you do.
I know a lot of guys haven't used this hook yet. G-Finesse Series has the nano coat on the hooks. And the nano coating makes the hooks sharper, smoother, for a better hookup ratio.
20% stronger than black nickel. Wow, that is incredible. That's a lot of strength.
My Gamakatsu G-Finesse Series, perfect finesse fishing for you.
Check out the G-Finesse Series of hooks by Gamagatsu.
The heart of the Basscat experience is the pride of ownership that comes with each blast off and every precision hairpin turn. It's a rush of adrenaline driven by the total commitment to performance and the knowledge that no compromises were made building a craft that stands up to the rigors of competitive angling. Basscat combines the latest proprietary materials and building techniques with over 40 years of continuous family-run operation and our unwillingness to accept anything less than the best. Welcome to Basscat. Feel the rush.
Guys, Gerald Swindle, Sunline Pro Staff. If you're a flipper, a slack line hook setter, you're really putting a lot of impact into your hook set, look for the shooter. It comes off the smooth, really smooth. Like when you're flipping, it is smooth. If you're going to be drop shotting and cranking, sniper's the deal, man. It seems like it's a little bit less likely, like on a sharp hook set, it doesn't seem like it likes it as much. But for coming off the spool on spinning rod, leaders, cranking, like if I'm gonna throw a big plug at Gunnersville, I've still got strong tensile strength that's not gonna give out on me, but yet the line's thin enough for it to get down. So to me, shooter takes a hook set, snipers for everything else. So if you're gonna slack line them, go shooter.
The name SPRO says it all. SPRO stands for sports professionals. When you look at the pro staff that SPRO has brought on board over the past 15 years, it's been pretty incredible. I mean, one got it just then. From the development of the Rock Crawler to the McStick, from the Fat Papa to the Little John series, when you tie a SPRO bait on, you know it's been designed by a professional to get the job done.
Blue Water by TH Marine. Offering LED lighting solutions for your boat, trailer, truck, ATV, and so much more. Engineered and built to be rugged with waterproof and submersible options. Designed for easy installation, Blue Water is available in a variety of colors and styles. All backed by a limited lifetime warranty. Blue Water by TH Marine.
At Duckett Fishing, we have assembled the top pros in the country to help us design rods to give you a competitive advantage.
Castability, strength, durability, action, sensitivity, weight and balance, and consistency.
Combine that with the best warranty in the industry, and you have rods that are pro-driven.
Duckett Fishing, pro-driven.
Hey guys, Cliff Perch here with AFCO. I've got the new camo hooded Reaper. It's going to be a great thing both for fishing and hunting this fall. I can tell you a couple of the features about it. Got the face mask like all the Reapers do, vented in front. It's got the fleece on the inside, so it's really comfortable. It's super warm. When you come down to the pocket, it's got this little snap system called Block Tapey, and it's silent. You know, it doesn't make that sound that other snaps and other systems that hook it together make. Great for hunting, and it's going to keep that stuff in your pocket.
I got my power pole down, stuck in the mud in the bottom of the lake, sitting so still in the wind and the waves, could even be a hurricane. I got my power pole down.
It's about the hours spent getting everything just right. It's the attention to detail. Good just isn't good enough. It's the years spent on the water day after day. When you tie on a bait by Strike King, you're standing on the shoulders of legends.
All right, we are back on a Wednesday, closing out the week. Very, very exciting times here. Coming up next week in the desert. And got some good feedback about one of the ideas about tying in the U.S. Open to the Classic and giving the West Coast guys some more exposure and giving them a format to qualify for the Elite Series and so many other things. Hey, I'm always sticking up for the West Coast guys. That's where my roots are. Long Beach, that's right. That's where I grew up. But now it is time to go to our special guest, a man that I've known for quite some time now. Coined the term, the man that makes things happen, because that's what he does. I'm talking about Billy Egan, the man that runs things for One Bass and does an outstanding job coordinating. And guys, girls, you have no idea how much legwork goes into the U.S. Open event from a planning perspective, from a logistics perspective, and from a permit perspective, too. There's some crazy stuff that takes place to get this event taking place on Lake Mead. So we'll kind of get into that with Billy a little bit. But I thought it'd be great to have Billy on, kind of set things up for what's going to go down in the desert next week. So let me get him queued up here. Billy, you there, man?
I am. Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
All right. Doing well, man. I know it's early on the West Coast, but greatly appreciate you taking time out. Dude, what a field you have set for next week in the desert. 250 anglers. Actually, I think it's more than that. Unbelievable the number of entrants that you have for this event. And the field is smoking hot, too.
Yeah, we're really excited about this year's event. Obviously, with your help and Dan O'Sullivan's help the last few years with the live broadcast, it's really helped, people get involved with the event, actually there themselves with the live broadcast. 256 pros, 256 co-anglers, a total of 512 anglers are going to be hitting the water at Lake Mead starting October 14th for the 37th annual U.S. Open, sponsored by Bass Cat Boats and Mercury Motors. Juan Bass couldn't be happier with the way things have gone. Breaking records is our mantra these days, and every year we seem to continue to break those. It was pretty amazing what happened this year with the excitement for the U.S. Open, the entries that we got. And as far as I know, I've never heard of a major event in any level selling out 5 months in advance. We actually sold the 256 spots back in June. Now there's been a little bit of shuffle with some of the spots, but we still have 256 pros and 256 co-anglers. We're locked in, paid up, paid in full, and ready to blast off next Monday for their chance at the title.
All right, now who are some of the names that are in the field this year, Billy?
Well, we've got the grassroots guys out here in the West Coast that have been supporting the pro advocates and things out here, your average Joes and average pros, which make up a majority of the field. This year we've got Ish Monroe coming. You've got Josh Bertrand, Chris and Trade Zaldane. You've got Perch, Roy Hawk, Aaron Martins, Brett Height, you got John Murray, you got a slew of these guys coming. You got the whole Bitchford team, which is, Luke Clawson, Randy Pocket, Joe York, Stetson, all those guys, Des Moines, you've got a slew of big names that are coming to this year's event. And one of the things that got a few more of those guys involved this year was the announcement back in, I think it was May, where we reallocated the extra funds based on the additional boats to turn this tournament into basically the third highest payout tournament in the nation and set itself even further apart. It's the only standalone event there is with this payout. You don't have to qualify for it. You just enter it when a spot's available, and if a spot's available, and you have a chance at $100,000 payday plus a $64,000 Basscat Mercury Puma FTD, brand new, given away, with the trophy. It's going to be amazing. And hopefully this year, Mother Nature, my nemesis, lays down softly for us and allows everybody to get in and out each day of the event without a hiccup. So the only thing I can't control, the only thing I can't put my finger on is the weather and Mother Nature, but it is what it is, and we're going to have an awesome event starting off with Sponsored Row on Sunday the 13th from about 1:30 to 2:30, I think we're doing a live broadcast part, but that's all on our website and our Facebook, and we'll have the whole schedule posted for you guys, but pretty amazing. Can't be any happier.
All right, kind of fill people in on what you feel the bite is going to be like. What is the fishing going to be like? What kind of weights can we expect next week? Wow, it's going to be that bad, huh?
I'm watching it. Well, it's not going to be bad weather-wise, but we just heard reports of a Arctic front coming down. So there's cold winds that just hit down. The air temperature is going down. Even though it's going to be clear and sunny, the conditions just changed because it's been warm for weeks. The fish have been relaxed. And now we've got this little cold front coming in. So I don't know how that's going to affect the bite. Obviously, in October, it's always a little better than September or July and the dates that we used to go before. But it's hard to say what it's going to be. 32 pounds might be the number again.
32 pounds, and that's over 3 days. And, folks, you got to understand, 10 pounds a day on Lake Mead this time of the year, July, September, October, that's a pretty decent day, isn't it, Billy?
It is. Literally go out there and catch, but you've got to find the fish that are over 13 inches. You'll catch 12 inches all day long, but you got to go out there and find those quality 2 to 3 pound fish and, you know, maybe get a kicker of a 5 pounder. That's really what's going to set guys apart. There are plenty of, you know, fish out there that can help these guys get larger backs, but they're very, very hard to find because Lake Mead is such a huge body of water, and those fish are spread out throughout the lake immensely. You know, there is no real sweet spot at Lake Mead because the conditions change on a daily, hourly basis out there.
All right. Hey, Chris in California wants to know on the instant feedback, is John Murray or Byron Velvet going to be in the field?
John, the field, Byron is not this year. Hadn't heard from Byron. Usually we talk prior to U.S. Open. The year with the sellout, didn't even get a chance to call him to see if he wanted to go because typically, you know, in years past, up at this point, we're still calling guys and, you know, trying to fill the field and increase it. But because it sold out in June, the typical guys would typically call and say, hey, we got a spot. Do you want in? At least that part of my job got a lot easier this year.
All right, you were breaking up. You were breaking up a little bit there. Did you say John was in the field?
John Murray is in the field and will be competing this year. Yes, okay. Brian is not.
Okay. All right. Scott in Virginia wants to know, how much is it to enter as a co?
The co-angler entry fee is $600. The pro entry is $1,600. And your entries include our big fish and big stringer additional payouts. So it's pretty inexpensive as far as, you know, tournament formats for the payout that we're doing to get in, especially as a AAA. You guys still there?
Yeah, yeah. You went away okay. There just for a minute. You're back now.
Okay. Yeah, so it's $600 for AAA, $1,600 for pro, and literally anybody can enter. We've already put out our dates for the next 3 years for Juan Bass for 2020, 2021, and 2022. The U.S. Open will be in October every year. The specific dates are up on our Facebook page and our website, but, you know, we're looking forward to some great things here. And this year's U.S. Open is going to be amazing.
All right. What does the co-angler champion win?
Co-angler champion, off the top of my head, earning some exclusive rod, championship rod series from St. Croix. There's also a $6,000 Honda four track that we're giving away to the AAA champion. We had polled all the AAAs earlier in the year when we did the announcement of the raise payout for the pro side, and polled all the AAAs if they wanted to pull that money together, the extra money based on the extra entries, to supply a boat for first place. But all the triples unanimously, almost 90% of them said they'd rather have the money. So basically we're just splitting the extra payout money evenly from first place to last place for the triples.
All right, so what's first place going to pay? You were breaking up there a little bit.
I'm pretty sure the first place AAA is $10,000 plus a $6,000 Honda four-track four-wheeler, as well as a St. Croix Rocks.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Pretty good for dumb.
God, his cell service is horrible.
Yeah. Terrible. Terrible. Sorry.
That's all right. It's you're back now. All right. What do you think it's going to take to win, Billy? Early projections. Is it going to be 34? Maybe less than 30? What's kind of your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are at least 12 pounds a day.
Wow. Okay. 36
12 pounds a day. We'll take it.
All right. And obviously, there's a lot of favorites, a lot of people that you're looking to do well. And you being a director, see, the cool thing about Billy, folks, is I know Billy loves this game and he loves Lake Mead. And you get kind of caught up, and I see you catching yourself every now and then, Billy, while the weigh-in's going on. You kind of sometimes turn into a fan. With all the chaos going on, sometimes you do turn into a fan and you just shake your head when somebody comes in with 15 or 16 pounds on Lake Mead.
That's happened. You know, Clifford Perch has done that. He's won the event three times with Aaron Martin. He's also won it three times. There's been a few other guys. Bobby Lanham a couple years ago did it. I think it was 15 pounds on the last day. There's a good bag out there, and it's pretty awesome to see some of these guys put the right ingredients together to get that successful day out there. And, you know, the U.S. Open and Lake Mead is all about decisions. You have to make consistent, right decisions for three straight days in order to take that title at the end of the event. And there's a lot of variables that can, you know, get in the way. We've got the co-angler situation, which in our events is a shared weight format. So they're fishing as a team that day, which is different from a lot of the other pro-am circuits out there. So it bodes for a lot of fun because you're not under that stress of competing against the same guy in the boat. And a lot of lifelong friendships are established and built from this event. It's funny because a lot of the newcomers that come in for the first time will chat on the phone for a little bit as we're getting information. I literally will tell them, I will see you for the rest of your life because you'll never miss this event again once you've fished it.
Yeah. Are you going to have records on, like, out of the field, both from a AAA and from a pro standpoint, on the longest tenure of competing in the U.S. Open? Is that possible, Billy?
Are we going to have an award for them?
No. Just it recognize whoever, this is your 46th U.S. Open or whatever the number is.
37.
Yeah.
Well, there are that passed. Like Rich Tauber. Unfortunately, he didn't fish last year or this year, but he and Steve Pike at the time were the two anglers that had fished just about every single U.S. Open there was. Unfortunately, Rich is busy with his guiding services and hasn't been able to attend the last 2 years. And Steve Pike is going through some shoulder surgery. He was signed up for the event, and those two guys if they had come this year, would definitely have been the two standouts for who had fished the most U.S. Opens. But, I mean, you've got guys like Aaron Martins, John Murray, that have fished literally this since they started fishing back in the early days out there on the West Coast.
Yeah, all right. Very cool stuff, Billy. Very excited about covering it once again next week. And folks, if you want to find out what times that we're going to be live and check out all the coverage, you can go to onebass.com. We'll also have it on basszone.com. I think that we're going to start our daily live coverage on Monday at 9 a.m. West Coast time. We're going to be on for 2 hours. And then what time does the weigh-in start each day, Billy?
Here Pacific Standard Time, we'll restart weigh-in around 2 o'clock each day. But don't forget, we are going live for about an hour and a half from Sponsors Row, which is Saturday the or Sunday the 13th.
Right.
First, before our launch, of the event.
Right.
And for all those people out there listening, join us on our Facebook page, Juan Bass on Facebook. We also have a special Juan Bass Turtle Anglers group. If you're somebody that's interested in fishing any of our Juan Bass events or want to find out any information about the opens that we do, the 2020 points race that we're doing for the $10,000 Life Source Cup stuff, join our Juan Bass Tournament Anglers group. It's the best place to find all the updated information on a daily basis. So join us on Facebook, check out juanbass.com, check us out on Instagram, and keep connected with us, guys. And we look forward to a great show, a great event, and the 37th annual Juan Bass US Open at Lake Mead.
All right, sounds good, Billy. Very excited to see you guys next week. And, folks, the duel in the desert, it's happening next week. And should be a good one, man.
Yep, sorry about the reception. We'll have a lot clearer, better reception from Access Parks out there from Lake Mead. So looking forward to seeing everybody on the live broadcast. Stay tuned. Join us on Facebook, in our group on Facebook. And thanks for calling, Mark. Have a great day, and I'll see you in a few days.
All right, sounds good, Billy. There you have it, Billy Egan, the man that makes things happen for Juan Bass. And wow, they need to take some of that entry fee money and get Billy a new cell service there. Anyway, no, it's not Billy's fault. Everybody knows there are certain areas of the country. It doesn't matter. You can be in a major metropolitan area, and there's dead spots in there. All right, let's do this. We're going to try and call Matthew and see what he's up to. I do not have his number memorized, if you believe that. So let me look it up here real quick, and we shall give him a call. Hopefully he's got good reception on Lake of the Ozarks. And we can get a good report on what is going on at Lake of the Ozarks. All right, let's see here. Is he going to answer?
Hello.
Matthew, how are you, man? You're live.
What's up, Mark?
You sound tired, man.
No, I'm not tired. I'm doing good, man. I'm just out here on the last day of practice for the Costa on Lake of the Ozarks trying to get something done.
Here you are on the middle of the lake, and we just got off the phone with Billy Egan, and he's right in the middle of some metropolitan area in Los Angeles, and we could get very little cell service. But we got you clear, man. You sound good.
In Los Angeles. He's not even out at the U.S. Open yet.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he's leaving till this weekend, till maybe like Friday.
I got you. What, tournament U.S. Open starts Monday there? I got to remember I'm on Bass Talk Live and not just having a conversation with you.
That's all right, man. That's how we roll. Yeah, it starts the first day of competition is Monday, and then they have the showcase on Sunday.
Billy has caught as many keepers today as I have.
What?
Yeah, it has not been good for me, Mark. I mean, let's just be honest here. I'm not afraid to say it. It has been a slow, treacherous grind.
Well, kind of set it up for us. obviously without giving too much stuff away.
I'll tell you absolutely everything I've done.
It is a transition time, and it seems to be a little tough. I mean, kind of tell us what's going on.
At least for me it is. I mean, we've had really sunny. It's been chilly in the morning, you know, low 50s, high 40s in the morning, but then just sunny and calm all the days of practice. And I think a lot of the bait is transitioning to the back. I mean, I'm looking at a ball of about 2.5-inch shad big time. And you can catch some smaller ones, but, I mean, I came into this thing wanting to sling a topwater and a topwater only, and I've done that. I think I've had 4 keepers in 3 days on it, and only 1 good one. And you can catch a bunch of little ones, but I'm really banking on that weather change, and I'm going to go Brad Hallman on them. I'm going to commit, and I'm going to try to make them bite what the heck I want them to bite, Mark, which is kind of scary. But, I mean, the way that I've done the points, I ended up finishing 40th in the Southwestern Division, so I qualified for the Coastal Championship in the last place there based on my 50th place finish at Grand. So as long as I catch a keeper here on Lake of the Ozarks, I'll double qualify for the championship. And then I think a top 18 will put me in the top 5 of the points, and like a top 30 will put me in the top 10 of the points. So, you know, just based on what I've seen, I'm hoping that those fish are about – ooh, that was just shad flicking. I'm hoping those fish are kind of waiting for that weather change, the drop in temperature, and then I can just put the trolling motor on high and cover it with something that either gurgles, squeaks, plops, or clinks.
So what is the water temp right now?
It's in the upper 70s down lake and kind of lower mid 70s up lake. You get into the rivers. So it's just right in that kind of in between time. And then they had the Big Bass Bash, which was like 500 boats on the lake, so for 2 days. So, I mean, there's a bunch of 3.5 to 5 pounders weighed in. So, I mean, they're going somewhere, but I'm thinking right now it's more of a brush deal. And I'm hoping that that weather change, and I mean, it's going to be nasty and cold. It's like a 45, 46 for the high on Friday and rain.
Yeah.
And then storms all day tomorrow, kind of coming in this afternoon. You can see the cloud cover starting is really going to push some fish up and make them a lot more active.
Well,
I just suck.
No,
I mean, that could be another part of it. I mean, maybe everyone else is smashing them, and I'm just out here in left field.
Dude,
I haven't talked to anybody else. I have no idea what anyone else is doing. So,
well, I've told people all week long, and even last week, how much work and homework that you've done in getting ready for these two events. And that's just kind of the situation that everybody is dealt this time of the year on Lake of the Ozarks. It's not something that is unique. It is a transition period of time. I'm somewhat shocked that the water temp is still that high. Wow.
Yeah, I got one on right now. It is. This one wouldn't even count in MLS.
Oh, it's an ouncer, huh?
It's a go to the hospital with a treble hook in your hand fish.
Oh, time waster.
Yep, he's back in the drink, but you can catch a bunch of those.
Huh. What is the water clarity like?
It's typical Lake of the Ozarks water clarity, 1.5, 2 feet. And then the river's got a lot of color in it based on all the rain that we've had, but the backs of it are, you know, 1.5, 2 feet. So no, I mean, it's kind of – I'm going to do the same thing that I did on Grand. Like, on day one, I picked up a buzzbait. I went to the mouth of a horse, and I freaking threw it for 2.5 hours. Had 3 bites, missed all 3 of them. But I still think that was the right call there, because you get 1 or 2 of those, and you're sitting really good. And I think there's a more bigger population of fish in the Lake of the Ozarks than there is at Grand. And based on the shad that I'm seeing, and I think they want to be up there. They just haven't had the right conditions to be up there yet.
So off the top of your head, do you know how much time you have before you have to go to, is it Cumberland where the championship is?
Yeah, that's the last week of October, first week of November. So I'll get a couple weeks.
Okay.
A couple weeks to come back. But, yeah, I mean, I've been going – 12, 15 days now. So I'm missing BTL. I wish didn't realize I would miss being in the studio, but looking forward to being back in the studio next Monday.
Yeah.
Or well, you're not going to be there then.
Well,
you're
no, we're
at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, we're doing BTL, but we'll make sure that we call you and get you involved. You won't have to come to the city.
All right.
But that next week, following the U.S. Open next week, will be the first week that you and I are actually back in studio together. Dude, yesterday, the Sunline Hotline show, unbelievable, man. People were on fire yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, it was really, really, really good. A lot of phone calls. It was nonstop. And obviously, the topic of discussion, until this situation gets rectified between, you know, Major League Fishing and FLW, it seems to be, once again, the hot topic. And whether or not Major League Fishing is going to do anything about possibly changing their format. And people were very opinionated, but at the same time, they offered a lot of suggestions. So it was a really good show, man.
Good deal. Yeah, Brad said he called in, talked about his solid finish on Grand. And, boy, it looked like Jason was going to blow that thing out of the water after the first day. But
yeah. Yeah, it's pretty – the amazing thing about that event, no surprise based upon how they fish, but with them with Warren winning, and he didn't even have a limit on two of the 3 days.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
I just saw his weight. That's kind of how it's been fishing. When you get one, it's either really small or really big. So I know my AFCO Bass Boot Camp from that. I actually came home on Friday and worked on that Friday and Saturday. So that should be out on the AFCO YouTube channel sometime this week. So you guys can go ahead and check that out in a timely fashion.
So do you have any of the footage from the agony of defeat on some of those fish that you lost behind the boat dock?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all in there. So, but like I told my co-angler, I mean, when you're doing that pattern, the way I've always thought about it is you got to get 7 to 9 bites if you want to catch 5 of them. Because stuff's just going to happen. And I was only getting 3 to 5 bites. And I landed a couple on the first day, you know, that were over cables, just a total rodeo show that I ended up getting in. And then the second day, it was just the opposite. So, I mean, it all evened out, like, you know, the way it was supposed to.
Jeez. All right, so how long are you going to stay on the water today?
Probably till a little bit after noon. I'm going to go look at some more stuff around here. And then the boat's kind of a mess, but I don't really have a bunch of rods. I mean, I'm really planning on throwing them on stuff that I have not been able to get bit on for 3 days, and I still think it's my best bet. So it's a gamble. I refuse to use the term that starts with the word swinging.
good choice. Very good choice.
It's a gamble, Mark. It's definitely a gamble, but I'm going to David Walker one time said he was getting ready for a classic on Grand. I think it was I don't know if it was the one that Cliff won, or anyway, he was getting ready for the classic, and I was talking to him at media days, and he's like, yeah, he's like, I really haven't caught much during practice. He goes, but I've been practicing for how I think they're going to be biting in the tournament. So it didn't really bother him that he wasn't getting bit in practice, because he said he felt like he was fishing ahead of the fish and that he recognized he was fishing ahead of the fish. And it didn't really do him any good to be fishing for what they're doing right now. So, I mean, I'm sure those brush fish will stay, but, I mean, let's be honest. Am I going to be able to compete with Casey Scanlon or Marcus Sikora or Jeremy Lawyer fishing brush on Lake of the Ozarks? No, I've been here like 4 times, Mark.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that just seems stupid. So I wanted to pick a pattern that I felt like I could compete with them against if that comes to fruition, and then have areas that even though I didn't get bites in, I can get a bite or two, and then say, ah, okay, this bank is like this, this bank is like that. So kind of trying to fish a little bit ahead of the fish, and then when it actually starts happening, make sure I put myself in productive water for the duration of the tournament.
All right, man. Sounds good. I will talk to you throughout the weekend, and then obviously next week with us being in Vegas, we'll get you on the show when myself, Dave Rush, and Dan O'Sullivan are doing our thing out in Las Vegas at the U.S. Open All right,
awesome. That's great timing because I really got to take a leak.
All right, man. Best of luck to you. I'll talk to you soon. I know a lot of people are pulling for you. And specifically, Charlie Hartley. He was on the show yesterday and was very vocal about how he's pulling for you this week.
Yeah, when I made the Costa Championship, he sent me a text. He said he hopes I finish second.
Well, that's Charlie, you know? That's funny. All right, man.
He's obviously fishing it, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right, man. Hang in there. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Have a good one.
All right. See ya. All right. There you have it, Matthew Pangrack. And it sounds like, at least for him, Lake of the O is a little stingy. And it happens this time of the year. That's where that experience is really going to pay off. And when you have so much experience during this transition period on where the fish scatter to. It's not really where they move to. It's where they scatter to. They scatter all over the place. And typically where you find the bait fish, a lot of times this time of the year, you're going to find where those keepers are. So hopefully Matthew will figure it out. And yes, there is a massive cold front coming through. And he's right. The highs in that area, a ton of rain expected too. But the highs on Friday, I think, are in the lower 40s. So big time changes weather-wise, and I'm sure that will have an impact. All right, folks, that's going to wrap things up for this week. I want to once again thank everybody for hanging out with me while I'm flying solo, while Matthew's trying to take care of business. It's been a great week, and I want to thank Billy Egan and then also Brad Hallman on Monday. And hopefully Brad will have another outstanding performance out on Lake Mead at the U.S. Open. Next week, we've said it. I've said it a zillion times. I'm sorry to keep drilling you in you, but we will be live from the U.S. Open BTL with myself, Dan O'Sullivan, and Dave Rush next week, 9 a.m. Pacific time. And then we will have the showcase preview on Sunday night, I believe at noon Pacific time, where Dan O'Sullivan will try to get some guests on there and interview some of the guys that are going to be participating in the 2019 U.S. Open. Once we get back from the U.S. Open, back in studio, we will have guests lined up, and we will continue doing what we do right here on BTL. Everybody be safe. Enjoy the coverage next week of the U.S. Open, and we will talk to you soon. That's it. I'm out of here.